Better managing people, checking tasks, and sending updates isn't actually project management. Do you mind if I share a short story with you? I want to tell you about this project manager. We'll just call him Robert. See, on his first big project, he had everything. He had the title. He had the charter. He had the critical launch date. And you know what? He thought he got all of the responsibility, and not to mention he had the authority now to actually lead the team. So he ran his daily check-ins. He asked the engineers, what's your progress? Asked the designers, where are the mock-ups? And he managed kind of like a real pro, to be honest with you, but he did notice something. He noticed that progress was moving slow. The team was talented, but the momentum was dead. See, what Robert started to wonder is, am I just a status checker with the title of project manager or project coordinator or project you fill in the blank? See, then one day he paused. He thought to himself and started looking around. He saw his engineer was stuck in three unrelated meetings. His designer was fighting with a laptop from the dinosaur ages. The problem wasn't the people. It was the actual environment. Therefore, Robert adjusted his mindset. He stopped managing people and started leading by identifying what got in their way. He cleared distractions. He fixed tools. And he protected their integrity while protecting their focus. And suddenly the team didn't just work. I mean, they excelled. Which brings me to my very first principle of today's episode. You don't lead people. You lead the environment. Principle number one, you don't lead people, you lead the environment. See, as a project manager, what you have to understand is that you don't control people's behavior, but you do, and I do mean you do, have an opportunity to influence by shaping the environment they work in. Why does this matter? Why is this even important, Edie? Why are we talking about the environment? See, a chaotic environment, unclear, unsafe, kills motivation. Matter of fact, it slows the progress, and it also does something we like to do. This, you're wondering what I'm doing. I am pointing fingers. So we foster blame. Experiment with these actionable tips. Establish psychological safety. Make it okay to speak up. Number two, remove barriers to focus. Unclear requirements, tools issues, or unassigned tasks minimizes or impacts the focus that your team can have. And the last and final one here is set up daily or weekly routines or rituals. What I mean by that, daily stand-ups or retrospectives, or basically what we're trying to do, family, is we want to create a rhythm and accountability to set our team up for success. Principle number two, reading the room. Man, you know what? I could probably go on and on about this, how even from a virtual standpoint, when you're not reading the room, what does that look like? See, the best project managers, no, because we're not talking about best. The exceptional project managers, they often are made outside of a spreadsheet, but more in a tone, silence, or even body language. Okay, Edie, what you doing? You sound very excited. Well, let me tell you why I'm excited about this principle, because a project manager who cannot read the subtle cues, you know, they miss risk, they miss resistance. And most of all, the team is not aligned. And when the team is not aligned, they can't deliver value to the stakeholders and to the business. Experiment with these actionable tips. Observe team dynamics. Notice who talks and who doesn't. When the team looks for an actual approval, sit back and see what happens. Next actionable tip I'd love for you to experiment with. Follow up privately. This is, again, one of my secret weapons that I always say I share with you guys, especially my new project managers. When you connect with the quiet voices, because often they hold the keys to actually what's going on. They may not be the most talkative, but when you get them in a one-on-one conversation, you'll find out more, as my grandma would say, than you bargained for, which is a good thing, because we always want to get to the root of what is going on, whether good or bad. We want to understand what is going on in the project. The last and final one, create space for others. Don't overtalk in meetings. Let others fill the silence if it reveals a lot. What I mean by that, family, is a lot of times what we need to do is allow people to finish before we have to be so excited to cut them off. One of my mentors said something to me one day. He said, it's important to let someone finish, because if you don't let them finish and you're constantly cutting them off, that means you are not even really practicing active listening because you've already formulated how you're going to respond. I like that. Because a lot of times when we're in meetings or we're having discussions with people, they have a tendency because either they say they're excited, but I believe that they're trying to get a point across. Okay, I digress. Let's move on to principle number three. Your authority is borrowed. It is not granted. I like that. So you're leading without formal power. Any authority that you have exists because others made a decision to give to you, meaning they made a decision to follow your lead. They made a decision to trust you in this journey. They made a decision that you are the one. Why is this important? See, you must earn influence through credibility, not titles. I'll say that again. You must earn influence through credibility, not titles. Otherwise, resistance grows. And when it grows, it's hard to really get it back. And it takes more time to get it back. So you must do this in the beginning. I recommend it. As I say must, but I recommend it. Here's some actionable tips I'd love for you to experiment with. Number one, deliver early wins to earn trust. Reliability builds respect. Reliability builds respect. Why does it build respect? I know you're asking that. Well, because if I can count on you, then you should know that you can count on me. What does that look like? Meaning if you said that you're going to get this impediment out my way and you have control over it. Now, there are certain things as a project manager, of course, we don't have control over, but things we have control over, meaning if we've already just had a meeting yesterday to talk, why would you set up another meeting to the next day to talk about the same thing we talked about yesterday and there was no change in actually the action item that was due? Next point, be consistent with your follow through. People remember actions, not promises. I wish it would be that easy that I could promise and say, yeah, I promised, but they only remember through your actions, what you've done. And the last and final one, build alliances across departments. We have to connect with both doers as well as decision makers. And this is key in your project management journey. Principle number four, the project doesn't end at lunch. Lunch day is not the finish line. It's actually the beginning of the real world impact and possibly having to deal with real world problems. Why is this important? Why does this even matter? See, ignoring post-launch phases like adoption, support, you can really kill the project value. So you did this huge project and now you deliver the actual project, but you kill the value because you don't follow up. You kill the value because you don't make sure that you do your lessons learned. We're going to touch on that. Here's three actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Pre-launch, schedule a post-launch support and have feedback sessions before you go live. One of the things that I like to do when I'm actually going live on a particular software, we have a go or no go. And we make sure all the stakeholders as well as the project team is in there. And I go around the room and I document, because you know what I'm about to say. Documentation means what? Documentation is always going to be conversation. So I document that and send it out. So we're all on the same page. If someone did not show up, I make sure that they send someone else in their place to make sure we're all aligned. There's no ambiguity. There's no misstep. All right. Next one, launch. Assign owners for post-launch maintenance, whether that's training and anything of that nature. And then post-launch, which is the last and final one, create a lesson learned while it's still fresh. Don't wait for people to move on. One of the things I've been guilty of this too, because you're so excited because the project ended, but this is why I love having that agile mindset or even leveraging a light framework like Scrum, because we leverage retrospectives. What is a retrospective? At the end of our sprint, we find out what we're doing well. We find out what we can work on and we adapt. And see, normally when you're leading a predictive project, what a predictive project is more or less we plan everything up front and then we wait to the end to really document those lessons learned. We should be documenting them on the journey, but if we're being honest, sometimes we miss that because we're so caught up in the present instead of looking to the future, how those lessons learned can help us. So documenting them in our lessons learned register is important. All right, let's move on. Principle number five, tools are means, not the end. I like that, family. See, tools like Jira, Asana, Microsoft Project, Smartsheets, they are support systems, not strategy. They don't lead the project, you do, family. See, teams often hide behind tools instead of communicating, deciding, or leading. You know, one of the things that I noticed in my journey of project management, people will send an email and think, well, hey, I sent the email, they should have gotten it and everything should be good. And I'm just sitting there. I said, wait for it. And then we get to the meeting and then somebody say, oh, well, I don't remember seeing that email. And then you say, well, I sent it on such and such date and time. It's like, oh, well, I got 30 emails around that time. So how was I supposed to catch up? Point I'm trying to make, family, is that we can't hide behind the tools. As leaders, we have to get in front of that. So we have to leverage the tools as well as develop that interpersonal connection with the people we're working with. Here's three actionable tips I would love for you to experiment with. Question your tools. Ask, is the tool serving the team or is the team serving the tool? Next one, amplify communication. Use tools to amplify communication, not replace it. That is key. Again, use tools to amplify communication, not replace it. And the last and final one, which I love to do, is stay lightweight. What does that mean? Keep your setup lightweight unless compliance demands otherwise. What would that look like? I'm not going to build out this massive schedule if I have a month turnaround project, meaning maybe we don't have to use Microsoft Project this time. Maybe we could just throw this in Excel, or maybe we have to use Microsoft Project, but do we need to put all of this in here that we know that we're not going to track appropriately? So there's certain things that we can do to remain at a lightweight standpoint. Principle number 6, ownership for other people's work. Listen, I have to be honest with you. As a project manager, you are the coach. You are the team lead. You are the individual that people are going to turn to and say, what happened? See, when something fails, the PM is accountable, whether it's fair or not. And why does this matter? Because without managing accountability, you will take the heat for invisible errors. What happens the majority of the time, family, is that a project manager feels nervous about escalating. This is why it's important to have an escalation path. When you have an escalation path, what this does is when something is not going right and you followed your process, meaning I connected with that individual that didn't deliver what they said they were going to deliver. And then they told me, oh, I'm going to deliver it the next day. And they don't. Now we're escalating because again, all of this ownership, the accountability at the end of the day, when executives are having that conversation with you, they're going to ask you, what happened? Why didn't you escalate? Why didn't you get us involved? All right, let me get into these actionable tips. Remember with these three actionable tips, confirm ownership, always confirm ownership of deliverables in writing because you know the model. So I won't go into it, but I got to do it anyway. Documentation is always going to be the conversation that we can have. Next one, use a RACI chart. For cross-functional efforts, we know what the acronym stands for, and RACI, responsible, accountable, consult, and inform. See, for cross-functional efforts, ensure that the teams assign names and not just roles. Don't put a role in there that says engineer. And then we're like, well, which engineer? Let's put a name in that particular area. And the last and final one, which is my favorite, I use a RAID log, but I also, this is part of the RAID log because a RAID log, you have risks, you have action items, you have issues, and you have decisions. So keep a decision log, maintain decisions and risk logs so you can track in case something happens, or as they say, a storm hits, and you want to make sure that you are prepared. Principle number 7, your calendar is your most important project artifact. See, the PM calendar isn't just about meetings. How you control attention, urgency, and most of all, what I love to do, and you see this energy that I have, momentum. See, poor calendar hygiene equals missed deadlines, definitely team confusion. And now it's like you are putting out fire. So now you're almost in a fire drill. Experiment with these actionable tips. Block strategic time, meaning block time for planning, risk management, follow-ups, not just for meetings. See, blocking strategic time sets you up for success. And when you are set up for success, you can set your team up for success. I like that. Next point, provide context. Send invites with context. Don't just send a blank meeting invite. And then they're like, well, what are we talking about? Let's put in the subject line. What is the goal or what is the meeting about at a very high level? Let's put an agenda in there. Let's put goals. And if we need them to prepare for something, then we need to send them an additional email or through chat or find a medium in which you could communicate what you need so we can have a successful meeting. And the last and final one, schedule reflection. Build time in for retrospective. as well as stakeholder touch point, not just delivery. You want to always continue to connect with your stakeholders, connecting with your project team, and always looking back at how you can get better. Principle number 8, creating clarity out of chaos. Projects rarely start off perfect. They start off with mess. They start off with noise. Most of all, it's mostly vague because you're trying to figure out, okay, yeah, we don't know what's around the corner, so we're going to plan for it as best as we can, and then we get impacted, we're going to have to be able to pivot. See, this matters because your job isn't just to manage. I should say lead. It's more about defining what you're actually leading. Experiment with these actionable tips. Host discovery sessions. Structure discovery sessions to unpack assumptions and unknowns. Next point, create SMART outcomes. The acronym from SMART means what? Specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, and time-bound. We want to break these ambiguous goals into SMART goals or outcomes. And the last and final one, visualize scope. Visualize scope with mid-maps or flowcharts so people can see what's included and what is not included. Well, family, if you stayed this long, first of all, I truly appreciate it. I have some final thoughts for you. See, project management is just not about charts. It's not about tools. See, it's really about navigating chaos. It's about building trust, and it's about leading with intention. I know that people will tell you that, hey, you need to do this or you need to do that. I'm just recommending and saying if today I made you rethink how you show up as a project manager, good. Because the real work really stops when you stop hiding behind the processes, when you start owning the environment, the energy, the execution. Because one thing I want to be clear about, don't just manage the project. You need to lead the people. You need to protect the vision. And most of all, deliver the impact. Now, based on everything we talked about today, what will you do differently tomorrow? If you're new, I go by the name of ED. For all you smart and intelligent folks out there, that just simply means it. Until next time.